for the purpose of education, critique, review, encouragement, all kinds of positive nature. This material is not being used in any public abusive way. We are not collecting any money. This is just for fun. Now, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents...
It's time for Magic Monkey Mania, and I believe we're up to number 18. And, you know, hey, that's the first time you got the tag rule right without it written down script.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. Tonight, I really wanted to do the podcast. I mean, I had a crazy day watching my kids a little bit with my niece and nephew running around doing this and that. Watching the dog went crazy, but in a good way, but... And I'm a little bored, but this is perfect to get the creative mind juices of the Magic Monkey Mania. I mean, come on. The monkeys, okay, here's a real fast story. We were in the car a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, at Cyrus, right? They have the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yes, yes.
The monkeys pop up. Daydream Believer. Another monkeys pop up. Then all of a sudden you hear them talking about, oh, the monkeys, you know, they're on their tour. What's going on? Blah, blah. It's like they never end. I mean, this is a group that actually was more popular than the Beatles. They sold more vinyl.
Well, do you know what was excited? I mean, they've wrapped up their Australian tour, but they have gotten three major hit milestone marks in the Rolling Stones End of the Year readers poll. I don't have the stats.
Oh, sweet.
I don't have the stats in front of me since we're kind of doing this podcast on the cuff and on the fly, but I will have that statistics for the next one, the next podcast that we do.
Awesome. That is good. Okay.
So what we were going to do is you were going to pose the question, and I was going to run into the archives and grab the track and come running out with it. How does that sound?
Okay. Awesome. You know what my favorite song of them is? Last Train to Pottstown.
Last Train to Clarksville?
Clarksville. I'm sorry. I'm a little tired tonight.
What did you say?
It feels like Pottstown because I'm close to Pennsylvania on the East Coast. So it's like maybe they stopped there on their train on their own crazy tour. Who knows, you know?
To the smelting pot to melt the iron?
Yeah, exactly. You never know. I mean, they could have toured there. I mean, there's a lot of people. It was close to Philadelphia. So who knows where these guys toured. No, but the last train to Clarkstown, the reason I love that machine, that song, is because it's like a machine. It's just like the last train to Clarkstown. I mean, that's like... I think one of their most catchiest tunes. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, it's just good stuff. Okay, here's the question. How many viewers actually love that song and think that's their favorite one, honestly?
I'm going to guess that. You know, here's my question. Have you ever heard Davy Jones sing Last Train to Clarksville?
In all honesty, I've heard so many songs since we're doing them, and the fact that I'm very tired, I'm going to go ahead and say I take the fifth and say yes, because I can't say yes or no at this point, so I'm going to have to just take the fifth and say yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, no, you haven't heard Davy sing it. You've only heard Mickey primarily sing lead on it.
Okay, so I didn't lie. I said yes. I didn't know. So.
Well, let's...
One of those monkey tail things. You have a song... Here's another one. George Michael sings, "You got a monkey on your back." Well, I got a monkey on my back.
Yes,
I'm
you
exhausted.
Do. Just so we clarify, this is WC Chronicles. I'm in Las Vegas, and Jersey Mike is still in back.
I'm in Virginia, so it's like weird because it is like there's nothing really to do here. It's not bored. It's a nice place, but when you're used to a lot of action where we live,
yeah,
it's exciting. Here, I'm walking around doing the podcast like, with nobody around, but it's great because the mind is so creative and up on natural energy when you're not around all the you know, the fake stuff hitting you.
Oh, yeah,
you just need
I
to
agree.
Do it like this.
Absolutely.
I mean, and when you go back to Oregon, isn't it great to have all the fresh stuff? I mean, the monkeys have been through Oregon how many times? You know what I mean? How many times have they been through Virginia, Jersey? Really? You don't know about.
Everywhere.
You know,
you can tour. Everywhere.
You can look over the other side of the mountain over here, about 2 miles from here. There's a place called Fort's Colony, a little uppity, a lot of nice home stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know somebody's not related to somebody that knows them there and has all kinds of crazy, like, memorabilia? You just don't know.
You don't know, yeah, memorabilia. I mean, talking about, you know, rare things that you come across and so on.
Exactly.
So, you've normally just heard Mickey sing Last Train to Clarksville lead. How about a version of Davy Jones singing lead on Last Train to Clarksville?
I can't wait to hear that. This is really sparks the mind. Really really gets the creative juices flowing.
All right, here you are, Jersey Mike. Here's Davy Jones, and for the rest of our listeners in the Magic Monkey Mania podcast listening audience, here's Davy. This is live from Japan in 1981. Here we go.
Take the last train to Tokyo, meet you at the station. Be here by Monday. Made your reservation. Go slow. I'm gonna know. I'm gonna know. 'Cause I'm leaving in the morning. I'll see you again. I'll have one more night together till the morning brings my train. I must go. I'm gonna know. And I don't know if I'll ever take the last train to Crossroads. I must hang up the phone. Can't hear in this noisy building station all alone. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna know. Take the last train to Crossroads. Must hang up the phone. Can't hear ya in this noisy railway station all alone. I'm feeling low. Oh, la, la, la. Oh, la, la, la. And I don't know if I'll ever. Take the last train to Clarkville. Must hang up the phone. Can't hear ya in this noisy railway station all alone. I feel alone. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'll ever. Take the last train to Clarkville. Take the last. Take the last train to Clarksville. That's the last train to Clarksville.
What do you think of that, Jersey Mike?
From what I can hear of it, because of the echo where I'm at, can I tell you something? I like that version.
It's kind of neat because there's no backup singers. It's just Davy by himself. And because it's in Japan and it's just a backup band, no backup singers, just solely Davy's voice.
That's like when they do their acoustic version of, imagine doing that in another country, just being like solo doing that. That's pretty wild if you think about it.
Yeah, because you're just the only one on the stage getting attention. Your backup band is kind of in the shadow, in the in the shadow.
Yeah, they're the shadow of the audience, and you're in the middle of this crazy, Euro crazy time in Japan, and it's like, just like, I'm doing this myself. So, but that just goes to show you how strongly these guys trained and did things, because he sounded pretty good, like he wasn't off on anything mentally. He was really on cue.
Yeah, he was definitely on cue. That's the thing. We're coming up on the 5th anniversary soon here of Davy's passing, and I think it's just cool and it's unique the way we are able to keep his memory alive and just keep going, you know?
You know what else is crazy? He was actually on, and met Florence Henderson, who passed away, and they used to say groovy and all this stuff, you know, like, oh man, this is groovy, and everybody was in love with Davy. I mean, come on. These guys, when we went to go see them at the State Line Casino up on the Nevada, California border,
down in Prim,
they actually did their monkey walk. That was like incredible, and all the memorabilia they shot through the
do it.
Yeah, they shot through the projector up there and just showed them running out of concerts and everything. These guys are really top-of-the-line guys, man. I mean, I wish somebody in their camp would get in touch with us, and we could actually do a live podcast with one of the guys that are left, because I'll tell you what, in all honesty, we would blow their doors away, because we know a lot of stuff about them, especially you. You dig up stuff they probably don't even know they did.
You know, we would definitely be able to do a different interview, because you and I would be asking questions that they wouldn't normally be getting asked, much like when we did an interview with Rob Garrett, the Neil Diamond tribute star, and Michael Bradley, because we asked some questions like, well, you know, I've never thought about that. Nobody's ever asked me that before. So I think that would be good. I have no idea yet about that, but we will figure it out.
and Harvey just texted me he's having wild sex with some girl and he's eating with their parents. The squirrel serendipity of the monkeys. You excited a 53-year-old guy when he heard I'm doing a podcast. So how many other listeners do we excite to do crazy, bizarre stuff?
Well, let's get into our second question that you're going to put forth, and I'm going to run into the archives and grab something.
Okay, how old is Davey's daughter that is singing currently now her song? I forget the single, but how old is she and how is she doing in her career?
Annabelle yes. Jones, that's it.
No, but in our minds, we'll just put her at an endless 29.
Endless 29. All right, I think I found
now they say the endless summer, she's endlessly 29.
Okay, here, I got her latest video and song, okay?
Oh, sweet.
This was actually published on October 13th of last year. This is Davy Jones's daughter, Annabelle Jones, which is his youngest daughter and who's broken into music. And again, it would be cool if Mickey and Peter were supporting her. Not like financially, but bringing her into the fold. It would just blow
exactly.
the fans away.
They're all family. They're all together for years. Yeah. And, you know, the father passed away. Why didn't they take her under her wing and make her like a little monkette, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Mickey has his sister Coco on stage with him all the time, every nonstop. So
why not the daughter? So were they trying to shy her away from show business? Who knows?
You know, sometimes egos get in the way of certain things, but I don't foresee them really doing that, having an ego. So, hey, Monkey Management, if you're still out there, give the coin toss out to Annabelle Jones. Let her invite her to be your opening act. Peter or Mickey, whatever you're doing.
And I have a better one than that. Annabelle Jones, management, her, whoever hears it, why don't you have her cover on our podcast? We'd love to do an interview with you because you are a very sweet young lady who is talented. And in honor of your father and your career, we would love to have you.
I bet we can do that. So, but anyway, let's play this track that I got out off the internet. It's her new song. It's called Not Today, okay?
Oh, okay, great.
Bottom of the bowl again. Taking its toll again, slept away the day. Nothing ever changes. I only ever see you in the dark. Leave me here to you again. Tell me that you're you again. Human and complete. Blood, bones, flesh and weakness. I only ever see you in the dark. 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 I can't smile, not today. Wrapped up in the view again. Living just for you again. Lost all sense of self. Say you did it for your girls. I only ever see you in the dark. Almost found a place to stay. Never felt so deep again. Spent your life alone. In the name of love. I only ever see you in the dark.
Oh, can you say going to be remixed EDC style eventually?
Oh, I do. I don't understand why that's not in the mix with, like, what's their name? Miley Cyrus and all these young people. Gaga.
It really
all
is.
This stuff, you know?
You got to see the video because it's right up there with that, you know, push the envelope Gaga, push the envelope Miley. It's very, I'm going to say European.
Katy Perry. Yeah, why don't any of these people push this girl and take her on stage? She's got a better voice. You know what it is? She has a tremendous voice. And you know what happens in show business? People turn around, have crazy egos, like
yep.
you said.
That's it. Crazy egos, and they're not going to let it break through, and it should break through. It really
and it should. Yes, it should.
Remind me if I forget, but I am going to shoot out a message to her and see if we can get her on the podcast. You know,
definitely. We'll remind you.
We'll have to be back in Vegas for us to do that so we can get the
I'll be back in a few Sundays from now, which is good and bad because I'm going to miss the family, but I'm ready to start doing the podcast live, and I want to do a couple live ones, see what happens with the streaming, whatever you call it.
Yeah,
I think we'll look good.
I think we'll have to try. We're not going to try that. We are definitely going to do that.
Yeah, and that would not be great if she was on the podcast or somebody close to her. So we're going to have her come up to the room or our dressing room and meet her. You never know.
Listen,
these monkeys, just like the song, she makes me laugh. She makes me cry. You know, their latest song that hit all records? Here's my next question. Who are they saying that about? Who makes them laugh? Who makes them cry? Who?
You know, that would probably have to be the fans. You know, I mean, because without the fans, you're nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they specifically say, she makes me laugh, she makes me cry. Is that over some song? Is it over money? Is it over a discrepancy? Is it over the fans, like you say? Is it over somebody's daughter, somebody's wife, somebody's mom, somebody? Who wrote this song because that became a hit? What was it based on? That's my question is.
Absolutely. All right, so it was written by Rivers Cuomo. I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Cuomo, but it's the lead singer guy, the lead writer guy for Weezer.
So
it's basically a Weezer song, almost.
Gotcha. That explains a lot now. It explains a lot. Because when he's got that, if I'm not mistaken, Happy Days, remember when I had the Happy Days video?
Yes, yeah. And you know who directed that music video? The you're talking about the sweater song?
No, who did that?
Spike Lee. He was the music director for that.
Oh, wow. So who knows where they got this song from, but it became a hit for the Monkees. Who really thought that... Who knows? Monkey mania, you know, got that monkey on your back. You know, at least they're living, they're surviving, and they're kicking, eating bananas.
Well, I'm pulling out a version here of the Monkees. She makes me laugh. So why don't we just play that track, okay? What do you want, a live or a studio? Let me throw it to you.
Oh, why don't we just do a friggin' combination of studio live? Just make it a studio because the audio will be better for our fans.
Okay, well, here is a really good studio one. This was from Huber Heights, Ohio, okay, this year.
Oh, Huber Heights, Ohio.
Yes.
Okay, sweet. To make the traffic look the more, her posing in some red shoes. She never fails to surprise. She makes me laugh. Oh,
if that's what you want to do. Tell me what's wrong with that.
Okay, I wish you could see that, because there's something that is distracting Mickey on the stage, and he just about halfway through the song starts cracking up and laughing, and it's all he can do to keep himself going.
Wow, I wonder who made him laugh on stage like that to make him almost like go a little off during a performance. Wow.
It was something that was going on, something about... that it was, there were pink party hats that people were wearing. A bunch of fans in the audience were put on pink party hats right when he hit that lyric on the song, is from what I understand.
Oh, that's pretty different. I wonder what the pink party hats are for.
Well, it's part
are
of the
Are they Pink Panther fans?
Hey, with Weezer, you never know if it's an encrypted message or if it's just a silly make you think it's an encrypted message.
Yeah, you just really don't know. Okay. 1967, Daydream Believer, one of their other most popular songs. Now, that song just comes at you like, doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, that just comes at you like, where did they come up with the title Daydream Believer? Is it because they're artists, or because a lot of people just daydream about wanting to be somebody else or in a different place?
You know, who that song is about, do you, or do you not?
Not that I remember.
John Stewart, who wrote it, he was originally with, remember when we did the interview podcast with George Grove?
Yes, from the Kingston Trio.
Yes, and he was talking about the other two members who were kind of around that wrote a lot of the hits, John Stewart for 1 year, and then Dave Gard. Well, John Stewart is the guy who wrote Daydream Believer.
Oh, wow, that is pretty awesome. You talk about our squirrel serendipity. Wow.
Well, that song was actually written about his wife. Her name was Buffy Ford Stewart, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. That was sweet.
And she did actually record I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago, John Stewart passed away. And a few years after that, she finally got around to recording her own version of it, but what was really cool about it is she had Davy Jones and Peter Tork joining her in the studio.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a rarity for what, you know, the bands who made it great and then those who continued with it. So why don't we actually play just a little bit of that?
Just a little bit, because I'll tell you what, the way you're talking that, imagine being there for one of these recordings that you're never going to go through, because you had a lot of connections with Paul Revere and the Raiders, and when you did, you know, with all that stuff with them in the radio. So how is it actually to be behind a live recording? That's got to be interesting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's for a long time, it was hard to find. And then actually now it's actually a little more prominent. You can find it out on the internet. But you'll definitely hear Davey, and then very faintly, I think...
No, I'm saying your experience
with
the fact that you were around with Carl Driggs and the Paul Revere and the Raiders. You actually went behind the scenes and probably saw recordings and stuff. What is it actually like?
Not a lot. I saw a lot of the backstage you know, dress rehearsals and sound checks. I saw a lot of that stuff.
Okay, but you were still there behind the scenes. What is, like, tied into a performance, but, you know, like, the creativity side of this, the process, you know, they have to record the song, write it, record it, then the studio, then it goes out, whatever, nowadays, vinyl anymore, it goes on the internet, iTunes, whatever. But when they're touring, how is it like to see them prep for all this? That's got to be pretty exciting.
What you actually see is you'll see them in actually a more relaxed state, in a more artistic mode. You know, maybe a little more fun and playful with each other because, you know, hey, it's just sound check. It's not really a heavy thing until the actual performance. So you actually do kind of get to see another side of a performer or artist when they're doing something like that backstage.
Wow, now here, fans of ours on the Monkey Magic Mania Podcast 18, you just heard it from somebody who experienced it with poor Veer and the Raiders fame. So it's around the same era, so wow.
I don't know. I'm humble about it. I'm not going to worry. But let's
play. Yeah, but still, that brings something pretty unique to the podcast because you actually had experience. A lot of people don't.
Well,
they just see the final product.
We got a lot of. I mean, I got a few more strings I want to pull for to get a few more other people here on the podcast just for the purpose of it. But hey, let's play this Daydream Believer version of Buffy Ford Stewart, John Stewart's wife, who wrote it with Davy Jones and Peter Tork in the mix. Shall we?
Sweet, send it home.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of a bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. Oh, but it rings and I rise. I rub the sleep out of my eyes. My shaving razor's old and it stings. So cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Cheer up, sleepy Jean.
Of me as a white knight on his steed. Well, now you know how funky I can be. And our good times start and end without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a queen?
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of a bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise. I rub the sleep out of my eyes. My shaving razor's old and it stings.
So cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a
All right, don't I tell you, I could probably put that on an endless loop and listen to it for about 20 minutes.
You know what's great about that? It's untouched, and it's like that's something you can just lay down and relax to, or drive a far distance and just zone out and focus on her singing with the guys in the background, you know, with the vocals and everything. That's pretty good. Babies is just, that was a pretty good mix.
Yeah, I mean, that is something I would like to have seen. My guess is, Buffy, she probably did her own voice version, sent it to Davey, he did it on over hers, overdub, then forwarded it on to Peter. I'm going to doubt that they were all three together in the same place. Because if they were, I bet they would have had some pictures.
Oh, definitely. That's one of those things that's the modern technology. Like today, back then, they have the best equipment, the best artists, just the best editors, boom, boom, boom. They just pass it along and get it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm just guessing, so I don't know for sure.
What is our
last and final question for getting into this, Mr. Jersey Mike?
Okay, in all honesty, what is the rarest song that the Monkees wrote for somebody else that they wanted for themselves that became a hit for somebody else?
Oh, okay, I can kind of reverse that a little bit in the
sense.
Do you remember a song by the Archies called Sugar Sugar?
Yes, a long time ago.
That was going to be written for the Monkees, okay? But
really?
They never got around to recording it.
So it was Sugar, 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 Aw, Honey, Honey.
Yes.
But that was actually supposed to be for the Monkees.
That was actually supposed to be for the Monkees. There, from what I understand, there was a demo tape en route to them, but at the time when they finally kicked out and got rid of Don Kirshner as controlling all the music, that tape never got to him, so therefore Sugar Sugar never got recorded. However, on Mickey Dolenz's second-to-last solo album, he finally did record a version of Sugar Sugar, so it would be probably the closest thing that you're going to come to finding of what the Monkees version might have been like.
Wow. So the song Sugar Sugar by the Archies was originally supposed to be for the Monkees, and like a business, as you want to call it, got chopped up, went to them, and they could have had a hit with it. So it's just amazing on how the world works, isn't it, entertainment?
Yep, and just for the record, Ron Dante is the person who does the voice of the Archies.
Oh, wow.
But hey, let's play this. Actually, there's a live version I got here of Mickey doing Sugar Sugar, which is probably a little more upbeat than what the studio version is, okay?
Mickey, Sugar Sugar.
And this next song I'm going to do for you, this was supposed to be the next Monkee single. But those of you that are Monkee files, that sounds a bit rude. You'll know that at that time is when we had the Palace Revolt. We said we want to have control over the music and to do our own thing, and we fought for it, we won, it was a big kerfuffle. And we did not record this song, and it's not because it's not a great song, because it is a great song. And it went on to become a great hit by some cartoon characters. But years later, I thought, I gotta do this song that we were supposed to do. But I did decide to do in a slightly different way. Ah, sugar. Honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you gotta be one. I just can't believe the love is loving you.
Sounds like they're playing like the ukulele with some kind of crazy funky mix in there from like who the hell knows, but that sounds perfect to me. Wrap up the podcast.
It's almost like a jazz version because you got the brushes on the drums and everything very kind of mellow going to with it.
I wonder if they ever played the handbells. I'm learning about instruments while I'm here in Virginia. Handbells, cellos, you know, all different kinds of like flutes and stuff. It's pretty cool. Who knows who they have?
There's a lot of history on it, but I'm glad we got this podcast done on the fly because I just wanted to get it back into the groove of things going.
Oh, me too. And for our listeners, next week we're going to be doing our Monday podcast. I'm actually going to be on a Jersey Crown, Atlantic City, my old home. So Jersey Mike's really looking forward to doing a podcast from New Jersey.
That'll be good.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Oh, I'm going to probably do it right on the Atlantic City boardwalk, look at the beach, just be so stoked to do that because I've never done that. I never thought I'd be doing podcasts before. So, everybody, hope you had a great holiday. This is just us getting back in the gear, grinding our own shifts of the grind, getting back to business.
Because we can.
Yes.